7:02 on a Friday. Welcome to the morning shift on this Falcons Friday, Fair Foul Friday.
Freaky.
Freaky Fair Foul Friday. Squid hates that. It makes him cringe. Atlanta United in Miami tonight. Game one of the World Series tonight.
Don't worry. I hate everything.
Hate everything. Georgia Tech getting ready for Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. Noon tomorrow. Georgia off for the weekend. But Falcons, Buccaneers, Sunday. Of course, these teams just got together a couple of weeks ago. The Falcons winning that one, what, 36-30 in overtime. No Chris Godwin for the Buccaneers. No Mike Evans. But Falcons will have to deal with the likes of Rashad White, Bucky Irving, Sean Tucker. Now, they've combined to help the Buccaneers rush for an average of 168 yards per game since week four. So they've discovered their rushing attack. But, man, they got gashed by the Ravens the other night. 508 yards. Baker Mayfield, what, three interceptions?
Two. He had three night. In the Saints game.
He's
had five
in his last two.
That's a good point.
Gentlemen.
Rob Holland, ATL, hit me up and said he thinks this game is basically the Minnesota's last year. But just not as it you know, they're injured and we need
to
win.
What, Josh Dobbs is playing?
Look, I think his point is I want to see if this team's advanced mentally. It's hard for me to, first off, just on that part, it's hard for me
to agree with him.
Huh?
Tend to agree with them.
Well, it's hard for me to judge this team as the same as last year's because you got different parts, you got different people in here, some of the same leaders on one side, but a completely different leader on the other side in Kirk Cousins. The offense last year couldn't capitalize with turnovers. Can they do it this year in a situation? But I also think it's completely different, though, when you think about, yes, they lost Godwin and they lost Mike Evans, but they still have the three-headed monster Rob just talked about, rushing for, 160 yards the last couple of games on average or something like that, 130 on the season. And then they still have the guy at the helm, which is Baker Mayfield. Now, the thing that I want to know, the question you asked your question earlier, here's my question. Does Baker Mayfield, who's been he's seemingly been pressing of late because he's throwing interceptions more, is he going to press when he does drop back? Is he going to force balls in there? And if he forces them in there, can you bat one up or tip one up or step in front?
Yeah, I don't have a high amount of confidence. And look, Falcons 30 best rate when defending passing plays right now in the NFL. And that's what I think to your buddy's Peter that hits you up. I think you are – it's a lot different, but you're plagued by some of the same questions, right? I mean – can this team mentally get over the hurdle of beating teams you're supposed to beat? The Vikings were one of them, right? When you have teams that are reeling, we've mentioned a number of times, if Arthur Smith simply and Des Ritter simply go out and beat Josh Dobbs' Vikings team, which he didn't start that game, or Will Levis' Titans team, or Kyler Murray's first start of the year last year, like we're talking about probably Arthur Smith still being here.
Yep.
And that's the hurdle that I think this team has to overcome in a lot of people's minds. Get home on the quarterback, which you couldn't do, and you still can't do, against a lot of those guys. So
don't get penalized on third down when you seemingly get a stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and find consistency offensively. We have improved offensively because we can throw the ball down the field with decent consistency. But we also aren't as mobile as we were at quarterback, and that makes things tougher a little bit as well. So there are a lot of questions. I actually kind of like the bringing up the Minnesota game. It's like kind of a last week was a prove it game. It's like beat the teams you're supposed to that are bad. Now the teams that are reeling, that are, you know, maybe middle of the pack right now, that beat those teams too.
I don't think the Seattle's necessarily a bad team. I think Seattle was a team you should have beat.
I mean, they did start off 3-0.
I meant Carolina 2 weeks ago. They beat the best.
But
meaning like last, yeah.
To your point about the Tennessee game, you brought the Tennessee game last year. This reminds me. Last week reminded me of the Tennessee game, a game that you could win, and you came out and you just didn't look like any. You didn't look like you were flat, is what they, and that's the way the Tennessee game looked.
Yeah.
This is a team, though. Remember one thing, though. To me, Tampa is a team that I think has got their backs to the wall in this game. I think they're at home. They just got beat pretty handily. They lost two of their best players. Their back's on the wall, and they say, hey, we might have a bye coming up, but we also have Kansas City and San Francisco, and we don't want to go 4-4 into into Kansas City and have to play them on the road and then play San Francisco after that. That's a bad spot for us to be in.
God, so many injuries out in San Francisco. Do they even have enough guys to dress out? That's what it seems like out there.
They somehow got Ricky Pearsall back last week, so that's a person in the right direction at least, getting him back off the PUP list. But yeah, I mean, there's Something's got to give over there with them because it feels like the dam's about to break in a couple of ways.
Kirk Cousins did not look very good last week, seemingly inaccurate. Well, David Archer caught up with him, an interview brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. And Kirk and David Archer, they're about six margaritas in when they conducted this interview.
Is the Falcons Quarterback Report. The Falcons Quarterback Report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Kirk, the focus of the football team after a win and a loss can sometimes be different. This seems to be a really mature team. How did you like the way the focus kind of set up this week?
Yeah, I see guys, you know, getting right back to work and viewing it as a new week, fresh week. That's how you have to be in this league, win or loss. You say, all right, new week, fresh start, we begin again, and let's go. And, you know, that's your only chance to really be able to put a tough loss behind you and get back on the right track.
I know it's not a danger for you because you've been around this league a long time and you've thrown for a lot of yards in a lot of games. You got some young guys that maybe realized some of their highs as a professional in this game last time you played Tampa. Any danger of them putting on the tape and saying, hey, this is going to be a walk in the park, we go take care of it again?
No, I think if anything, it's a little bit of you know, what will Tampa do now? You know, having played that game, how do they choose to change? And then what you find in the NFL is at the end of the day, people are going to be who they've been. They're not going to completely reinvent the wheel. So also, what are we doing, you know, what are they doing that's the same? And we'll just have to see as the game goes. But expect some wrinkles, expect some curveballs. And we all know that every game is its own entity, and you really start from scratch and have to put together another strong performance to have a chance to win.
Sometimes you go into a game, I would assume going to a game, especially a quarterback has seen as much as you have, that you kind of get an idea it's going to be a track meet a little bit. And the last one was a bit of a track meet with you and Baker exchanging plays offensively. With some of the things that happened to them Monday night, does that change any of your mindset? Is that how you attack this game on their defensive?
Well, you know, I think they are a really good offense. We're going to have to keep our foot on the gas pedal, and we'll get a feel as the game goes on. And, you know, I learned last week against Seattle that, you know, even if we gave up a score before the half or we give up a score early in the third quarter, we're still in it. You know, you don't have to go force anything. That's when the game gets away from you, is when you start trying to force something to happen. So you be patient. You let the game come to you. And usually when you do that in pro football, you're there at the end.
They've got two smallish safeties in Jordan Whitehead, and now Antonio Winfield's back on the field. You mentioned there's going to be a couple of different guys on the field. Smallish guys, but kind of pesky, bulldogish type guys. Totally. What do you do with those two guys?
Yeah, they're the real deal. Winfield's as good as any safety in the league. He's a total package when it comes to making plays in the pass game, making plays in the run game, being a good blitzer, a finisher, a tackler, just being smart, tough. You know, he's a problem, and he was out last time. So that'll be a big challenge for us. Can't see the three technique was out as well last time. He's a great player, first-round pick. So they know that, and they're going to come loaded for bear.
All right, last thing for you. How do you neutralize the human solar system that is Vita Vea?
Yeah, you know, he's a problem. He's someone that you know going into the game. You know, we got to have a plan for him. We got to know where he is. We got to understand he can wreck the run game. He can be a factor in the pass game. And so, you know, there's an awareness when the O-line coach puts the plan together of, you know, how do we handle him? Because, you know, he's been doing it for years now, and it's one thing to let him do it if he sneaks up on you, but when you know what he's capable of, you got to try to game plan for it.
It's hard to win in this league. It's doubly hard to win on the road, yet sometimes there's a value in traveling, getting away from home. You guys won last time you went to Carolina. You got a loss. You're coming off a loss. Now you go to Tampa. Is there any value to that?
Well, there's certainly challenges going on the road with the noise and just being in a foreign environment. You don't have as much support around you, but to your point, it can galvanize your group, and you realize, hey, it's just the 53 of us and our coaching staff, and you'd like to think it sharpens your focus and forces you to bring your absolute best to the table.
Go have some fun.
All right, thanks, Art.
Yes, let's have some fun on Sunday, gentlemen. That's Kirk Cousins with Dave Archer. Let's have some fun.
I love it. All right, thanks, Arch.
So how do you deal with that 400-pound refrigerator right there in the middle?
You got to do something to get him off balance.
Can you unplug it?
Yeah, right. You got to do something to get him off balance, right? And I used this analogy last time. It didn't end up panning out like this. A lot of times, guys like that, they move like a locomotive. It's a train. They stay on the train tracks, right? Trains are not change direction, right? You can't turn a train around and run it back the other direction very quickly.
You can derail it, though.
Right? And it's like a cruise ship. So a lot of times that's how you have to attack guys like that. And the point, Vita Vea is a little bit different, though, man. He can move laterally a little bit better than most guys at his weight. So that is it. You, instead of just saying, hey, we're going to run away from you, though, like they did last time, of saying, hey, Neusel can handle him, we'll just get out wide, we'll see if he can skate down the line. He did, right? So I think now you have to add some kind of system or, you know, I don't want to say blindside, but like I brought up the Wham play earlier. Something like that to kind of get him off balance, because I think with Ryan Neusel dinged up, obviously you already don't have Drew Dolman and everything else going on in the interior of that line, I think you have to be very careful with how you approach it and not just say, well, just go get it done, because that's not going to be a winning formula, in my opinion, on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Vita Vea is he's gotten progressively better over his career and against us progressively better. I don't know what you do. I leave that to Mike. I would just say I would put Lindstrom and Neusel on him as much as I could and see if he could beat him with a double team, because he is just – and Lindstrom struggled with him at times too when he's had one-on-one opportunities.
I just think that here's what I would do if I was going in with the same game plan and I was Neusel. I'd throw an early cut block on him, because you usually don't cut at the center position on wide zone. But I'd if you're in a zero nose, I'd say, all right, buddy, like, hey – better be ready to watch these ankles right now, all right?
Because, give them something to think about.
Just give them something to think about. If I was being forced to run with the same game plan, I do not think that Zach Robinson and Dwayne Ledford will do that this weekend, though.
Gentlemen, us growing up, the most glamorous position in the NFL was running back. Is there a renaissance in NFL running backs? Get into that next on In the Huddle. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 The Game. Welcome back to the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, a smart, lasting, clean. Game one of the World Series tonight. Dodgers, Yankees, chorus of yawns. Glamorous, iconic, but not yawns. Down here. But not down here, gentlemen.
Over under 1.5 World Series games that each of you will watch. What are we going
it's
with?
It's
going
to go under.
Yeah.
If there's a game 7, I'll be... But if I'm flipping channels, I'm around a TV and it's late in the ball game and it's close. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think 1.5 is the right number.
Yeah, that's a good number. That's a good song. That's a good number.
What do you think, Bo? Over under 1.5 World Series games you'll watch?
You go into
Cancun, getting a margarita. It's on the tube. Watch a couple.
I mean,
at-bats.
It's probably over, because there are a lot of times if the Hawks aren't on and it's the middle of the week, I'll have the game on the second TV just to know what's going on and keep up and kind of have a pulse of the series. So I would say over. I mean, I that's just kind of my – I've always done that. I don't know why. I'm going to watch a regular season Mavericks-Lakers game or game 3 of the World Series on the side TV. It's the World Series all day long.
Is Bronny playing tonight? Is he? Is he playing this
don't
morning?
Don't get me started on that, apparently.
Is he playing at lunch?
You know, that's a historical, magical moment that you just don't understand.
I said this to my buddy yesterday when I was talking to him. He was like, what'd you think of the Bronny thing? I said, it feels like the Astros won the World Series. Like, it happened, and
this
it's going to
so
go in the record books.
Manufactured and forced and ridiculous.
It's going to go in the record books.
Self-serving.
There's evidence that it
annoying.
Was there, but it feels a little bit cheap.
Can we talk about it for 30 seconds?
Because I challenge you to do that.
Because
go.
My biggest problem with it is that everyone is telling me why – They're making this. Oh, it's such an achievement, and I go, why? Well, look, LeBron, he stayed around. I said, let me say something. Everything LeBron does from this point in his career is an achievement, because he is defying logic with aging and that type of thing. But other than that,
and performance
there
and
is,
answers,
there is no real achievement from the other side. Well, but Bronny made it to the NBA. He was a guy that averaged 2.5 points. He made it through a medical. Incident, and I'm glad
and
that he's healthy,
him.
And
God
I'm glad I'm so glad he's healthy and he's over. But other than that, he didn't earn it.
No,
he's a guy that is, I think, could have been a good college player if not the medical issue. He jumped to the NBA because he could, because his dad told his team to pick him. He went in the second round. That's fine, no problem. I think it should have. If it happened, it probably should have happened in April. Because or March, I should say, because he should have worked his way through the G League like every other second round guy.
He'd be the third best player at George Mason.
And I think that's the part. But when I hear Brian Windhorst go on ESPN, I told you I could talk 30 seconds about it. Go on ESPN and talk about.
No, I was challenging how, to not talk over 30
how
seconds.
They needed Let's... to do this to energize LeBron James. I get a little bit sick because I don't know why you need to energize a Hall of Fame player making almost $50 million a year to play basketball.
Well, Windhorst owes his career to LeBron, so anything LeBron does is okay by him.
Fair.
And to be clear, I don't blame anybody, but don't ask me to celebrate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame anybody.
That is perfectly
don't ask
said.
Me to celebrate.
That is perfect. I don't blame LeBron. I don't care about the nepotism part. Nepotism is something that happens in every industry and every walk of life, okay? I mean, we've got countries founded on nepotism. Look at England. But the reality of the situation is
it's. And inbreeding, too.
Yeah. It's no amazing feat. It was manufactured, and that's okay, too. Just don't tell me why I should celebrate. I think you're right, Mike.
Real quick. Can you at least admit that it was cool to see?
No.
No?
I don't think it was at least cool.
No, Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr., that's cool.
I think it was cool to see because just from the dad aspect, I'm looking at it going, yeah, that's a cool moment for them.
And I don't blame him, though. That's the thing people go,
that's what I just said. I don't blame anybody.
I just don't care because it's fake. It's like watching, you know what? I don't blame Vince McMahon putting the belt on Stone Cold Steve Austin in 1998. But that doesn't mean the outcome wasn't predetermined. All right, we can hit the
All right, you know what we're doing? What am I doing right now? We do not have the discipline to go no huddle. We have to huddle up.
Why did I get hit with a random piece of paper?
Because you said 30 seconds, and we went 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well, that's all right. You know, gentlemen, when I was growing up, we're playing Sandlot football. I'm Tony Dorsett. I'm Eric Dickerson, all these things. Glamorous position back in the day. Barry Sanders, the list goes on and on. Then, of course, the position was de-emphasized. Oh, you can't draft a running back in the first round. You're not going to spend money on aging running backs. That's changed now. Look at Saquon Barkley. Look at Derrick Henry, who might get a rushing record this year, by the way. That record, 2105, set by Eric Dickerson back in 1984. Why the emphasis now, though? And you can also see here in Atlanta, too, with Bijan and Tyler Algier.
Yeah, I think Bijan, honestly, I think Bijan has kind of resurrected that thought when you talk about the draft. I think there were some missteps. Trent Richardson, my boy, Trent Richardson being one of them. Along the way, and then Bijan's kind of resurrected that thought.
Well, Mark Ingram for a long time, then he finally settled into a pretty distinguished
career. Well, what I'm saying
is,
so Mark was drafted at the back end of the first round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you talk about like top 10 running backs, it's like, oh, they don't hold enough value for that. Mark was like, I don't know, 23rd, 24th, I feel like.
So. Well, when you talk about these guys, a lot of things are happening. For one, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Bijan Robinson, they are three down running backs who can do everything. They can catch the ball in the backfield, they can pass protect. They can and they can run the ball up, in between the tackles and outside of them.
Is it the pass catching nowadays? Because the old school guys just toted it. They didn't really catch the ball in the backfield very often.
Here's how I feel about it. Because this has been covered a number of times, and defenses are adjusting to what offenses have become. Right? It's the cyclical nature of the NFL.
Right.
So now we are just simply adjusting back to where that running back that can run between the tackles is becoming more valuable because linebackers and D linemen are getting lighter because they have to cover space. It's just somebody's like, man, Carolina should run the triple option. I mean, that's where they're at. And I'm like, it's not a bad idea. Nobody's doing it. Might as well hit people in the mouth when you get a chance.
Bryce Young would get killed.
I was about to say.
You wouldn't
have to be embalmed after every game. Right?
Go hire the Army coach.
Yeah.
Right? Draft their quarterback, and there you go.
But it is an interesting point. But also, look at both backs last week, that we played, Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker. Those are both two dual threat guys out of the backfield and catching the ball and running. But also, it's two headed monsters everywhere too. So these guys are going
three in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and these guys are going places, and they got a little bit more aware on the tread.
The Thunder Lightning.
Yeah,
I'm here for it, man.
I am too. That's why you got to have two: a Tyler Algier and Bijan.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like bell cow backs are still few and far between. The Saquons and Derrick Henrys are still fewer and farther between than the Charbonnet and Walker groups or the Bijan and Algier kind of groups. I think that's what gives you sustained success over the year. That's why when people bring up Derrick Henry's rushing record this year possibility, I'm like, dude, a lot of things got to go right. He's got to stay away from like just tweaking a knee or something other than that. And also everybody else around him needs to stay healthy if that's going to happen as well. The offensive line, the wide receivers, everybody.
Look at Christian McCaffrey last year. They used him as your bell cow. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many touches a game did he get? And he's nowhere to be found this year because of injury. And now I know he's got his head injury, but if you just overload one guy, their bodies are not holding up because of the dual threats, how much they're actually being asked to do.
Yeah. It's interesting, man, and it will just continue to evolve to me. But I'll have my eyes peeled on Derrick Henry. There ain't no doubt about it.
You know, and if you're an old-school football fan, there's nothing sexier than when a team can just run a ball down a team's throat. Yeah, it's modern sexy to throw the ball for 400 yards, but when you just see a running back just inflict his will on a defense and they just dominate, it's beautiful.
Derrick Henry, to me, has mastered the art of running through tacklers' wrists. And what I mean by that is he's not going to completely shake you out of your shoes, but he's going to force you into making an arm tackle. And when you do that –
yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, when you do that, when his shin hits your wrist, you ain't bringing him down, bro. Like, it ain't happening.
Or that stiff arm hits you right in the
thorax. He's mastered the art of that very slight change of direction that causes you to change direction, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, not bringing him down.
Mike, what day is it? What day is it?
Let's go. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? All right, how about this one? Let me see where I want to go. Fair or foul, Rob gets excited about sweater season. Fair or foul, Kyle Pitts and Kyle Trask have probably done a jersey swap at some point. Fair or foul, someone other than Bijan or Tyler Algier will register a rushing attempt this weekend for the Atlanta Falcons. Stick with us. It's Fair Foul Friday. I'm mic'd up. Sports Radio 99 The Game. You already know what day it is. It's Fair Foul Friday. It's a freaky Falcons Fair Foul Friday here on mic'd up, the morning shift. Robbie T. A
lot of Squid effing Billy. Alliteration there.
Yeah, a lot of effing around. Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson here with you on this Friday morning. Appreciate you hanging out with us. You guys know the drill. If you've never heard Fair Foul Friday, which I don't know how that's possible at this point, then basically I make the statement, Bo and Rob tell me whether or not it's fair foul.
They're even playing in the halls of Parliament.
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. Somebody told me that.
No,
somebody
they don't, told me that. And they then don't I, get that you know, much free speech.
The Prime Minister goes, wham, wham, wham!
Do you like that, Rob?
I love that. Very true, actually, unfortunately.
How about this one? We're going to start with one that can be proven fair or foul, all right? And we're going to figure it out by the end of this segment. Kyle Pitts and Kyle Trask have done a jersey swap, fair or foul. I don't know. But somewhere along the lines, Kyle Trask being the backup quarterback in Tampa Bay, we'll figure it out by then. Bo, you think it's been done for? Have you seen a picture of this?
I am pretty positive I have seen this. I've seen – so where I stand most of the times where we do our interviews,
yeah.
I've been able to see guys leave and come in with jerseys, like autographed after the game and stuff. So I am very positive that it has happened. So I'm okay. Going with fair.
All right. What do you think, Rob? Think it's happened before?
Absolutely, it's happened
before. Those guys were magical, Bo, back in college.
I have a Kyle Trask jersey. Everybody has a Kyle Trask jersey.
Don't you roll your eyes.
Just a couple Kyles getting it done, man. Just a couple Kyles getting it done.
Don't you soil the good
Dylan,
Kyle
if you could
Trask
figure that out
name.
Before the end of the segment, whether or not that's fair or foul, that would be great. All right, how about this one? Fair or foul? There is a better chance of Vandy beating Texas this weekend than of Oklahoma beating Ole Miss. When you look at the Vandy lines... Ooh. It's tighter. It's tighter for Vandy over Texas than it is for Oklahoma Ole Miss. Fair or foul, better chance of Vandy in Nashville knocking off Texas than Oklahoma beating Ole Miss. Isn't that crazy to say? Shout out to the Oklahoma
fans. I'm going to say foul just because college football is just so crazy.
Yeah.
Talking about a bunch of kids under 25, no pineal glands, no executive function.
What does it make you feel if you're an Oklahoma fan and the line is tighter on the Vandy Texas game than the Oklahoma Ole Miss game? Bo, what do you think? Fair or foul, better chance of Vandy beating Texas than Oklahoma over Ole Miss?
I think it's, first off, they have done it. I've got the picture.
I was going to wait till the end. Thank you for doing that, though. Dylan already told me about 2 minutes
ago. Sorry, my bad. I think it's fair because you know what Vanderbilt has that Oklahoma does not?
What's that?
A starting quarterback that they trust and know how to use.
Yep.
And therefore, I think you're onto something. I think it's fair.
All right, how about this one? Two sacks for the Falcons against Baker Mayfield. Two sacks. Get right. Two sacks.
I think it's fair, and here's why.
Okay,
the Falcons have been putting an emphasis. They get Troy Anderson back. I think they could use Caden Ellis in some pass rush situations, which I think he's suited for because of the integrity he keeps in his pass lanes. Also, I think Baker might have to if you play like I pray that they do and come play up a little bit tighter. They might make Baker pat that ball a little bit longer, which gives you time to get there.
Mm. Rob, don't let him talk you into it. What do you think? Fair or foul?
I'm an optimist.
Okay.
I haven't seen this. They'll have to be out of character to perpetrate such a thing. I'm going to say fair.
Okay. All right.
They'll have 2.5 sacks.
I'm picking up what you're putting down right now. How about this one? Running backs and tight ends for the Bucs will have more receiving yards than wide receivers for the Bucs. Running backs and tight ends combined for the Buccaneers will have more receiving yards than the actual receivers will for the Buccaneers this weekend. Fair or foul? Rob, we will start with you.
I'm going to go ahead and say fair. No Chris Godwin, no Mike Evans. They're going to have to figure out other ways to distribute the ball, and they have other personnel that can do so. Not as sexy as a Godwin and Evans, but I'm going to say fair.
Yeah, Cade Otton goes for 100 last week, but I also wonder, Bo, if Cade Otton will be bigger in the eyes of Atlanta's defense, maybe try to clamp him down a little more knowing what you have at the receiver position.
Right.
Last week, the running backs and the tight end combined for, like, I think 250 yards of the 370. Maybe it was 230 of the 370 that Baker threw for us. I think it's fair.
Okay.
Baker right, passes for under 200, though.
I just wonder, and I think when you look at last week and you look at the injuries, you probably say fair. But I also think, like, to my point, I think Cade Otton probably gets more eyes from the defense knowing what's at the receiver position this weekend. So I think that's going to be interesting to go.
Yeah, you know, that's not a bad call. He did catch he did have 3 for 44 last time we played, so they did a good job of limiting him then.
He wasn't non-existent last time. All right, how about this one? Someone other than Bijan or Tyler Algier registers a rush attempt for the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins famously not going to register a rushing attempt. But I don't know who it'll come from.
I still think there's a naked bootleg in there that's going to shock the world.
You think
they're
just
saving it for week 16.
Just a big first down. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I think this comes down to, will you have to see somebody like a Darnell Mooney on an end around, a Ray McLeod with a backwards pass, something along those lines? What do you think, Bo?
Well, you said Bijan or Tyler, correct?
Someone other than Bijan or Tyler gets a rushing attempt.
Jace McClellan got 5 last week.
Yeah, you think?
I hope that happens, yeah, because we're up.
I was gonna say,
but wait, he's got to be active. You know, I think it's fair because I think we've seen Darnell Mooney get some carries. We've seen, I think Drake got a carry at one point.
Yeah, I think
so,
he did too.
So they've Zach has kind of mixed it in here and there with a little bit of a sneakiness. So I think it's fair. Yeah.
A little bit of a changeup. I say it's fair.
Okay. All right. How about this one? Bo, we'll start with you. Rob gets extremely excited about sweater season. When there's a chill in the air in the morning, Rob's like, it's go time. This is my Super Bowl.
It's fair. I think it was 62 degrees out one morning, and he had some kind of sweater pullover on.
He's got a 2-bedroom apartment, and the guest bedroom closet just sweaters.
It's like
Bruce Wayne's Batman closet.
Dude, he's so happy for Professor Rob to break
it
out.
It is, dude. It's a good look, man. It's a vibe.
It really is.
It's not even a fashion statement. It's a vibe.
It is a good look for you, I have to say.
How about this
deep,
one?
Deep bench. It's definitely fair. Deep bench, loaded with 5-star recruits in that sweater closet.
Why you do well with the Cougars.
Before the season started, Kirk Cousins' over-under for touchdown passes was 27.5. Preseason, 27.5. Right now, he's got 10. Kirk Cousins will hit the over. He will hit the season over. He's got to throw 18 more touchdown passes. Kirk Cousins will hit the season over this year. Fair or foul? Bo, we'll start with you.
Fair. He's in the over. He's going to hit 3 Sunday.
Oh, come on. You feel it. You said that with so much confidence, and I love it. I love it. I love it.
Well, Rob, he's going to shatter 32.
You think 32?
He's going to have 32 touchdown passes.
What an obscure number. What
an 17
number.
Interceptions.
What's the Falcons single season record? It's 37, right?
I thought it was in the 40s. You might be right, though.
I think it's 37.
I thought Matt did 40 one year.
Dylan, you can look that up, and I promise I won't ruin it.
There you go. Now we're talking. How about this one? Antoine Winfield will be more disruptive than Vita Vea on Sunday. Antoine Winfield will actually come to be more disruptive, even though it was Vita the first time around, obviously. Winfield.
Question.
What?
Can you define disruptive?
Game wrecker, like a TJ Watt?
He will be in the picture more when there are tackles made. How about that one?
Foul.
He's in the picture. He's in the camera lens when there's tackles being made.
Oh, that's fair, because I think Antoine Winfield is going to make a lot of downfield tackles because we're going to eat Sunday.
All right, no, I like that.
Foul, Levante Davis is going to be the name.
Woo! Come on.
Let me tell you something.
Tell us about it.
I cannot – first off, I have so much respect for that guy, and I cannot wait till he retires because he haunts us.
10 seconds on these next three. Jalen Johnson is more important to the Hawks' success this year than Trae Young. Jalen Johnson more important to the Hawks' success than Trae Young. Bo, we'll start with you.
That's foul. Trae Young is your leader. He's supposed to be the heartbeat of the team.
Playing defense too, though, stretches it.
It doesn't matter. Trae Young is supposed to be the stir.
Just his usage rate, handling the ball, it's foul. It's just Trey.
All right, how about this one? Kirk throws for 250 in order for the Falcons to win. Kirk has to throw for 250 in order for the Falcons to win this weekend.
I think that's foul. Okay. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think you can run the ball on them. You just got to prove it.
All right, Rob, what do you think?
I think it's foul.
All right. Vikings, even though they lose last night, still one of the three best teams in the NFL.
Fair. Fair until you prove me wrong.
I love it.
Very complete team, in spite of the defense last night.
Not quite anymore. Bo, what do you think?
It's foul.
There you have it. Fair Foul Friday was a success. Thank you guys for playing.
You're a fraud!
Fraudulent freaky Fair Foul Friday.
All right, this hour has been brought to you by Zero Res, a smart, lasting clean like all of my sweaters. All right. You didn't ask for it, but you're going to get it anyway. You're getting our picks top of the hour.
It's the prequel to Man Up.
And I'm hurting, man. I am hurting. I'm going to have to do a complete rehaul of the front office after all my picks. Fire everybody. Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 The Game.